When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right. Didn't get as cold last night as they were saying. Not along the coast, anyway. Looks like 41 in Galveston this morning, and winds aren't quite as high as they're predicting, but nonetheless, it's partly cloudy skies today with a high of 51. Northwest winds will be shifting over to the south at 10 to 20 later today. We have that front coming tomorrow or Monday. Should get here, so that'll bring in a little bit of a southerly flow to increase those rain chances. But tonight, partly cloudy skies, and clouds will show up overnight with a low of 49. South-southeast winds 10 to 15, and then for tomorrow, cloudy with periods of rain, high near 60. That rain chance tomorrow looks like it's about 80%. Should get maybe a quarter inch of rain. Northeast winds will be 15 to 25 miles per hour, so it'll be quite breezy again tomorrow. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we have two of them like we've been having. Boy, that moon's bright this morning, too. Not quite full yet, but we have a low coming up at 7:53 a.m. It's a negative 1.1, then a high at 4:50 p.m., a 1.3. Sunrise 7:15 a.m., sunset 5:40 p.m., and that moon phase right now is 87%. Looking offshore, the buoy out there is showing a north-northwest wind at 18, gusting to 22. Air temperature out there is 42. Actually, it's colder out there than it is on the island. That's kind of strange. Might be something wrong with that monitor. The water temp is 57, and the Galveston Channel looks like it's 49 degrees with 51-degree water, north-northwest wind 11 to 17, and at Eagle Point, it's 41 degrees with 45-degree water, northwest at 9 to 14, and in Morgan's Point, 51-degree water with a west-northwest wind at 15 to 17. So didn't get quite as cold as they predicted along the coast. All right, well, let's get started off. Let's run over east of town this morning, the Golden Triangle area, and let's see what Bill Watkins has to offer this morning. Good morning, Bill. What's up?
What do you say, my friend?
Oh, man, it's
how's life treating you?
Couldn't be better.
Well, if anybody wants
right now, to be better.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the best place to be?
Well, you wouldn't believe some of the deer they've shot the last few days with this cold weather, man.
Oh, I bet so.
I mean, the big boys are out. They're running.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine told me that actually he's pretty qualified to know because he buys deer from down that way and deer from up in the northern regions.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a pretty good mix of those deer. He said the deer down there in South Texas literally don't breed until it gets really late into the year.
Yes.
So And the ones from up north, they seem to go a little bit earlier.
Oh, yeah, a lot earlier in some cases.
That's curiosity. So
they're on a different biological clock.
By mixing those deer like that, he got a really good genetic cross and bigger deer. Because those deer down South Texas, some of them are pretty big. And ones up north, they're even bigger than that, body-wise.
Right.
So when he's explaining this to me, I just really enjoyed hearing about all that, because that filled in some gaps about when do they actually breed? You know, it's usually sometime around November, but it can be as late as December, depending on where they're from.
Right.
Where they come from. So the biologic clock is a little bit different. So that's really interesting stuff. But I don't guess I'll ever be a deer breeder. That costs a lot of money.
That's big bucks.
That is big bucks.
Yeah.
Whether you're buying bred does or what, you know.
Right. Yeah, all that genetic stuff, it's very interesting. You know, your does are just as important as your bucks as far as genetics.
Oh, yeah. Well, all I can say is, if you like winter, this ought to be your thing.
This ought to be it.
This ought to be your oyster.
That's a fact.
Man, I mean, it's miserable cold out there.
Boy, a day before yesterday was just, man, with all that rain and 37 degrees and an east wind, you know, northeast and east wind about 25 to 40. Man, that was...
That was bad.
That'll make an old man out of you quick. Boy.
Man, I mean, it was just cutting through me. I went over with my brothers yesterday to pick some kale and mustard out of his green patch. And, man, I mean, I had to put on the heaviest coat I had.
Yeah.
And we sat there outside. It wasn't raining yesterday evening. And we sat there outside and visited in his little electric buggy. I mean, I got bone cold. I come home and I thought, wow, man, I'd never be able to take it out on the lake fishing like this. And, oh, no. Shoot.
Well, it's that cold. You got to layer all that gear on, and it's almost hard to fish. You have restricted movement.
Right.
Mummy syndrome. Feel like a taped up mummy. But you're warm. You're not cold.
I'm afraid I'd fall in. It's dangerous out there. You know, water temperature is what, 53, 49, what is it?
Yeah, it depends on what part of the bay you're looking at. You know, it's, Eagle Point, what was it this morning? 45. I mean, if we had another one of these blasts coming behind this, we'd be looking critical in a few days as far as water temperatures on, you know, fish gills. I mean,
we would.
45, you're about 6 degrees above a critical stage. But deeper water areas like Morgan's Point, that monitor's close to the ship channel, so it's 51.8, and then the Galveston channel's 51.3. And even at the buoy offshore, it's already under 60. It's 57, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's all depends on whether you're close to the Gulf or not. The Gulf is always warmer.
Deep water and Gulf, you got it. And the currents move around that warm water from underneath, you know, around the ship channel and places like that. But just straight bay water, you know, flats and everything else, yeah, it's cold right now.
It's cold. So I've got people calling wanting to go fishing. And I'm telling them, as soon as it warms up, I'll get out there and find them and give you a call.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I am just not that mad at the fish. Man.
You know, I remember one, I don't know, it was mid to late February, somewhere in there. You know, there were some big trout showing up over there on that east side, you know, at Louisiana side, you know, kind of between Garrison's and Madam Johnson. You know, you just had to find a bait and pick a cove, you know, to wade. But we went over there one morning, and that water temp was 42.4 on my machine. And we got out, and you couldn't get a lure back. We were throwing corkies, and you had to work them as fast as you could to draw bites. And, man, man, we caught some big fish.
Yeah, maybe it might have been a little sunshine, too.
Yeah, and that you could feel the that outgoing tide would come out of the marsh, and that water coming out of those shallow ponds, and that marsh was even colder. You could feel it through your waders. And those fish were in, man, they were in munch mode. They were smoking lures. Crazy.
It's amazing.
You just never know. You don't know unless you go. You just got to go and do it, go through the motions, and it's either good or it's bad.
Yeah, and the thing about that is those bigger trout, they can handle that colder water better than the little ones. The little ones might be shut down completely.
Yeah, we didn't catch any little ones that day.
Better size. Yeah. No, it's... You know, you'll catch better trout. I remember back when I first started, you could find 6, 7, 8 pounders.
Yes.
Roaming those flats, especially if it warmed up, you know, for a whole day and that marsh got a little warmer.
Oh, and that outgoing tide, bring that warm water out of the marsh. Yeah, buddy.
They would turn on like
that'll spark a bite. Plus, you know, that bait's going to be with that warmer water, too.
Yes, it sure will, and they'd be easy to catch. So if you throw in, corkies, and like you say, sometimes the bite gets so fast, it's amazing. You think that, hey, it's so cold. But they ain't going to bite that. You got to dead stick that thing. Sometimes that's not the right deal.
No.
But they just let... You let the fish tell you what they want.
That's it.
They'll come get it.
I can't even remember how we figured out they wanted it fast like that. I think somebody just started burning their lure in to make another cast and something piled on it, and then we knew, you know.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. They just reeled in... You know,
just gotta let the fish tell you what they want. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
If you're in them, you know. Sometimes you're not in them, and nothing you do works because you're not on fish. It's the way it is.
Yeah. If they're not there,
I've had plenty of those, haven't you?
Yeah. I've had to make a lot of spots in a day to try to find fish, and then first time you pull up on a reef or whatever, the first place you stop. And I love it. I love it when you can take people that have never been before.
Yeah.
With you, and you say, okay, this is how you cast the lure. This is how you work the lure. Bam, and you got a fish on. And it's like you had that fish tied out there.
Right.
And that happens a lot of times. I got to noticing it. It was like, I might as well play this up. You throw out there, and the fish is waiting on it. And this is how you land the fish, and this is how you throw it over the side of the boat. Now, go to work. And it's always impressive when you can make that happen, but some days that might not happen till 10 o'clock.
That's it. Timing is very
critical. After you've made all kinds of stops.
Oh, well.
That's,
let me knock this break out, Bill. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back at you. All right, man. Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we're back, bud. We are
all
back.
Right, I'm here with you. Here and ready. So we covered a lot of ground. We went from deer breeding to fish.
Yeah, cold water fish.
In 15 minutes, so that was covering some ground.
Well, you never know. So, this show, topics change in one eye blink.
There's
just
true.
So
we're
much to talk about in the outdoors. I mean,
there is.
That's what
I'll tell you. What I can't talk about right now is ducks, because my friend's pond has no ducks, and there's so much water everywhere. They're scattered. If you're in them, you're in them, and if you're not, you're not.
Spotty at best. So,
I don't even know if we'll get to go this year.
Well, I hadn't been yet. I sure need to get at least one hunt in.
And he has a prime spot down at Sea Ramp, and no ducks, and water everywhere.
You know, with this cold weather, you know we got some new birds in, but
it just depends
on where they congregate, and if you're. Best stuff I'm hearing right now is coming out of the marsh, you know, marsh hunting. And a few of the fields are doing good. And now, with all this rain, it depends on how much water's laying around everywhere. That does kind of spread them out a little, you know, give them more options.
They're not still working the rice fields?
Well, that's what I'm talking about, you know, field hunting, you know, high ground hunting, whether it's, you know, water level fields or what have you.
Well, if you don't have any vegetation growing in your pond, then it's unattractive to them.
It is. Food is the source, just like fishing. If you got food, you got fish, and same way with ducks. Waterfowl.
Same deal.
Yeah. Bait. Got to have bait.
But right now, there's so much water down there on the coast. Lots of rainwater.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty hard piece of marsh, and bottom is pretty good in a lot of it. But right now, you know, it's just way too much water, and most of the birds are out in the rice fields. So. And if you got those kind of places, you're good to go.
Oh yeah. Well, same way with deer. You know, that's when corn works the best, when it gets real cold. You know, it's like candy to them. And,
yeah.
Man, I tell you that, I don't know, these last 4 or 5 days down in South Texas, man, there's been some beautiful deer killed. Blaine got him a good one. That was his Best deer he's shot personally since he's been down there in 42 years.
Really?
Yeah, he got a big 10 with a split brow on the left side. The brows were real weak, and that deer's still going to score between 165 and 170. You know, that's a
nice,
beautiful low fence deer, man. Pretty
nice.
Impressive.
Yeah, that is impressive.
Old warrior.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Ran a doe right through the front yard at his lodge.
No kidding.
Yeah, they saw it, and they called him. He was putting hunters out, and he said, I'll be back there in about 20 minutes. And it came out again about 250 yards away, and he laid him down. Beautiful deer. I'm glad for him.
Ain't that something?
He watches all these deer shot every year. If Blaine pulls the trigger, it's going to be something good, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. It pays to be ready to make a shot like that.
Yeah.
If you've got your rifle with you at all times, you know, stuff can happen. That's when you'll see the biggest one is when you go in the woods without the rifle.
When you don't have your rifle, that's exactly right.
That's how it happens. Man. Well, I'm glad he got that. That's I guess I'm never going to shoot another buck.
Oh, you will.
I doubt it. But I'm eating does. And lots of meat in the freezer, and life is good.
Well, horns don't they don't process well. You know,
no, venison's, they don't. But
venison's venison. We all want the big horns. But some years you just don't get them. It's been three years now since I pulled the trigger on a good one. That's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, did you shoot a doe while you were down there?
Well, I shot a couple old scrubs, you know, cull bucks, stuff that needed to be shot off. Garbage.
Yep.
But they taste just fine.
Just
wasn't
fine.
Meant to be. You know, I saw two really good deer while I was there, but I just never got shots at them. Wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
But those real good deer are real stupid right now. It's on. They are running
does. Yeah, man.
I mean, they were running them while I was there. I just didn't get fortunate enough to get one close enough to take a crack at him. And it was fun. That's my favorite part of hunting, just watching those deer.
Oh, I do too.
Living on the edge, man, watching. Just all nervous and knowing one could step out at any time on a doe. You know, you put dead bait on the ground, live bait shows up, and that pulls in the big bucks. If that's, you know, if he's got a doe that's out there eating, sometimes they'll slip up.
Yeah, it's exciting just watching those deer.
It is. It's fun, man. Plus, down there with all your friends, and, man, it's just a good atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's part of it.
Good therapy, man.
Part I miss about my old deer lease, when all my uncles would show up and my cousins, and we'd all hunt together and go to the blinds.
Right.
You know, come back, tell all the stories. I really, really miss all that. And I miss the people more than I miss the hunt.
Yeah.
when you're into a family thing like that and everybody's doing what they do, you just don't think about when they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
And it really is, you know, pretty sad stuff. I sit around here and I get to thinking, I get quiet a minute. I try not to get like that. I get quiet a minute and I think about all those guys. Man, they were a great bunch of guys. Good men that took care of their families, did the best they could. I just miss having them around. And of course,
good,
my dad
responsible
was right
adults.
In the middle of it. Yeah, they were the right kind of people. Would they shoot an illegal deer every once in a while? Yeah. But it was not
it was not on purpose most of the time. It was an accident. As their eyesight got older, they couldn't judge, especially when they went to the 13-inch.
I know, man. That's
it was like, how in the world do I even do that with my eyes as bad as they are?
You still have all these, you know, mature 13-inch, less than 13-inch wide bucks still breeding, you know.
Yeah.
The genetics aren't going to change that way. Those are the ones that need to be taken out and let the bigger, wider spread deer, you know, walk till they get mature.
Yeah. It's hard to judge between a 12 and 15 sixteenths and a 13 and a quarter.
Yeah, no joke.
I guarantee you, if you say, hold it a minute, let me run down there and measure your antlers.
Yeah, hold still, deer, while I can run a tape between your horns there.
And especially the ones that are close together and high, and you've got that big V up there, and you're looking at a lot of bone, and it's like, oh, man, I know that deer's...
Well, a big high head like that with heavy mass and everything, and... You know, it just looks like a shooter, and then you shoot it, and it's under 13, you're in trouble. Bad news.
I know. Might as well just call the game warden and...
just say, hey, come arrest me, or come give me a ticket.
Come get me, man.
Sorry, I messed up. It sure looked bigger than that. And deer always shrink when they hit the ground anyway.
Oh, yeah. You
they look a lot shrink. Bigger when they're alive.
They do.
They really do. It's called ground shrinkage. Put them on the ground, they'll shrink every time.
Yes. You're right about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still got to eyeball them.
That's it. Just like these trout.
In East Texas, that gives you a real problem because you likely not see that deer but one time. They're moving around, especially when they're rutting.
Exactly.
They're moving around, and you catch a glimpse of him, and he stands there for just a second, and you go, wait a minute, are you a shooter or not? Next thing you know, he's gone, and you're wondering.
You know, I hunted the same stand for quite a bit, because of that. I never saw the same buck twice. They were just moving through those. I mean, it was different bucks every hunt, except for this one 9-pointer. He wanted me to shoot him so bad. Big old nine, about 6 or 7 years old, and he just wasn't bigger than one of the nines I got on the wall, so I let him walk. He was the only deer that would show up every hunt.
That's amazing. He was daring you.
Well, he had him a rub and a scrape there and had him a doe that was just sticking around. She wasn't moving on. She just stayed where the bait was, and he stuck with her. He'd let her eat a while, and then he'd push her off in the brush. But she came back every day, and he was on her. He had his
territory. The nature of those deer, when they breed like that, they'll lock down with a doe, and they may be out of the picture for several days. And then you think that buck breeds 30 does, but that's not the case usually.
No, he's going to stick with that one until it's time, and then after he breeds her, he may move on and find him another one.
But, that's right.
They pretty much...
But all that takes time. Yeah.
Unless somebody comes in and beats the crap out of them, they have to move on then. The more dominant buck move into the picture and take your woman away from you. So.
And those deer, they fight violently.
They do. You know, Brian Barrera, the young man I talked to, that's a guy down in South Padre, you know, this bad weather, he went to his dad's ranch and he shot a beautiful deer with a drop tine. It had a small drop tine on its right main beam, and he sent me another picture and said, look at this. And one eye was gouged out of him, and he had three big old holes and tears in his neck where he'd been fighting.
Yeah.
He was beat up.
Yeah. And you wonder what could do that kind of damage to him.
Another big deer like him.
Another big deer like him, that's right.
You know, and he was an old deer. He looked 7, 8, 9 years old, but probably had a younger, you know, more aggressive, like a big eight or something. It was a lot stronger than him. You just never know.
No. And according to my friend that's got that deer ranch, he finds them locked up and killed every once in a while.
Yeah.
And he said, boy, they really, when they lock up and really go to kill each other, he said, they will kill each other.
Yeah, they will. Fight to the death.
He's got two bucks locked up, mounted, a huge deer. I mean,
I bet that made a beautiful mount.
It did.
Yeah, that's cool. And, all right, Bill. Well, hey, man, when the weather breaks, things turn around, somebody wants to come over and fish with you, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, buddy.
Yep, because this too shall pass, and it'll warm up all of a sudden, and we'll be back fishing. So call me at 409-673-9211.
Or fishsabinelake.com. All right, bud.
You got it, buddy.
Well, Bill, have a good weekend. Always a pleasure talking to you. See you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. See you. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has a combined experience of over 100 years, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied can do it all. And remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 438 here in the Bayou City. Let's go up to Lake Conroe. Let's check in with the fish dude this morning. Hey, Richard, got a little frost on the pumpkin up there this morning.
You ain't kidding. It's showing 22 this morning, so it's pretty freaking cold. I know. That's horrible.
It didn't reach the coast. You know, we're warmer than they predicted. So
that's a good thing. Maybe them trout will make it. That's the biggest part.
They're fine. We're about 6 degrees away from starting talk about the F word, freeze.
Yeah, I know. That there would hurt. But I tell you what, it's crazy how – yeah, it's been hanging, you know, in the about 32, 33 up here, and it'd get up to 45 or so in the day, and then at night it dropped back down that little bit yesterday. That kind of had a little added punch to it, and that rain along with it too. So, but one thing I'm glad of, you know, I mean, as bad as I hate to say it, I got this dang old club on my hand, so I can't get out there and be out there catching shad this morning. And that's good, because I guarantee you, one cast and that deck of that boat's froze this morning, so I'm not missing that at all. I mean, that's one thing about this cold stuff. You get out there like that, everything freezes. I mean, my dang live well, bait well lid freezes and everything else. So latches freeze and all kinds of good stuff. I mean, it's just everything is so dang cold out there right now. So it's but them hybrids ought to be doing good. I mean, I'm ready to get out there and get after them. But good night. It's just this thing is killing me. I told my wife yesterday, I'm tired of this thing on my hand. I need to get it off of there. Well, you only had it for 4 days. Well, it don't matter. I'm ready.
Yeah, just wait. It's you know.
It looks like I got a boxing glove on. I know, but I can't. Now, that's my problem. That's been the problem with it all along. You know, like I broke this thing October 27th. So if that tells you anything about my patients, and I probably rebroke it 10 times between then and last week. So it's, you know, I mean, because I can't leave it alone. It's just one of them things. But, you know, I have no choice at this point because it's, like I said, this club they got on there. I mean, it's like wearing a boxing glove is what it's like. It's just, yes. I can't do nothing. I mean, good night.
Which hand is that on your rod holding
on left, hand? No, left it's hand. On the left hand. So it's, you know, that's the thing. As far as spinning reels, I'm usually good with it. But bait casters, I can't jerk on them. That's the biggest problem. So, you know, it's one of the things. I can cast them out, but I can't hardly get them wound in because I got to shove it under my arm.
Probably kind of hard to throw a cast net with that club on there too.
It is. I guarantee you, it ain't easy. That's
how long you
got
to wear that.
Well, they're gonna take it off Wednesday, I believe. They're cutting this thing off, and then they're gonna put me in some kind of splint. So,
well, if I was your doctor and knowing you like I know you, I would leave it on there for a month.
He better not. He
got
better
his number.
Not.
I'm gonna give that guy a call. He needs some serious info.
Yeah,
about you.
I guarantee you. Yeah, you're gonna mess up. Don't be doing that. I'll be taking a saw
Takes me
to
that
it.
Number,
that's for
Richard.
Sure. There you go. Ain't no doubt, but it's no, I ain't gonna be doing that, I promise you, because they'll put a splint on there that I can take on and off, and that's a whole lot better than what I got going on right now, because I can't get this off, and that's, you know, yeah, with good reason, you know. But once it, I think it's healing up pretty
well,
good.
It's a good time
hurt.
Of year to have it messed up with all this bad weather and everything, so.
It, you know, that's kind of what I'm glad of, you know. It's just, yeah, you know, I still got people wanting to go fishing, and because there's, you know, there's some knuckleheads like me out there that like fishing all the time, you know, and it doesn't matter. Weather don't hurt their feelings either. So, but, you know, that's the biggest issue is, you know, like with me, and, you know, I'm going to go no matter what. If I can get out there, I'm going. I mean, it's just one of them things. Because it's, I mean, it's this is the worst addiction that you could get. I mean, that's, ain't that why they call us sickos, right? Because we,
well,
I mean,
one of these days, I mean, it'll wear off. You won't be that mad at them.
I don't know, Mickey. That's what I tell people all the time. When I first started guiding, you know, I first started fishing competitively in the mid '80s, tournament fishing, stuff like that. And then in the '90s, I started guiding, and I never thought I was good enough to be a guide. Still don't think I'm good enough to be a guide. But when I first started, I told myself, I said, if you ever get tired of it, just quit. And I've never gotten tired of it. It's gotten more and more intense, if anything. And it keeps building. It's crazy how it just keeps getting where I enjoy it more and more all the time. You know, now granted, when the fish don't bite right, it's aggravating, but it's still a challenge. So that's what keeps me going, you know, that challenge and knowing that one day is not the same as the next, and it never will be. And that's because the fish are going to dictate what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, you know. And I learned that tournament fishing years ago. You go out there and, you know, I used to go out and say, I'm going to do or die with a jig. You know, flip a jig all day long, and you're looking for 5 bites that jig. And when it comes to bass fishing, and if you got them, you got them. And they would be big. If you didn't, you didn't. I mean, that's just the way it was. But you learn to get off of that mentality and you know, rethink every moment that you're out there. If you're getting bites, and you got a jig in your hand, you're getting bites the whole time. You keep on chunking that jig, but if they're not biting that jig, you better put it down to change up and go to, you know, if it takes a topwater bait like a frog, or back then we used to throw rats all the time. You throw a rat out there on top of a hydrilla mat, and them fish would eat it up, and then the next thing you know, they'd shut down on that. You take a worm or a crawl worm and drop it down through a hole and start catching them that way, you know, just different things, or even a wacky worm, which
creature,
you know,
baits.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. I mean, everything under the sun you'd throw at them, you know, just trying to figure it out, or even a Carolina rig. I mean, get out there offshore and start chucking Carolina rigs around, which is one thing where, you know, I need to get back into doing myself, because years ago I'd tell people on Conroe, there's two baits you can count on day in and day out, a Carolina rig and a crankbait. You're going to catch bass on them no matter what, no matter what time of year. If you're chugging a crankbait and they're not biting it, grab you a Carolina rig and start dragging it around. You're going to catch something on it. Now, with that said, with the water temperatures out there right now on the lake, you know, granted I hadn't been out, but I know they're down low. And once these water temperatures start dropping like this, it's where you drag a Carolina rig. And, I mean, you barely drag it. You chunk it out there, let that rascal hit the bottom.
Sticking.
Almost. I mean, and that is the most boring stuff I've ever done in my life, and I hate doing it. But you drag it into something, you let it sit there, and you just shake it. And you just shake it and shake it, and then you kind of move it a little bit. And I mean, you may spend 5 minutes a cast just to get it in. But if you slow down and drag that thing really slow like that, and every time you bump into a piece of structure with it, you just stop and just kind of shake it a little bit. And then after you shake it, then you kind of hop it over whatever structure it is, whether it be a rock or a log or a brush pile or whatever, right. Kind of hop it over and then shake it some more. And, I mean, just keep on shaking it. Just don't move it a lot. And all of a sudden, you'll feel one just come up there and pick it up and start swimming off with it. And they're usually pretty dang good-sized fish when they do it, too. So that's you know, that's one of the things about doing that slow type fishing this time of year is doing that. And it's one of those things where most people won't slow down to that point. But if you do, most time you're gonna get rewarded pretty good. You know, that's one of the things. I got one area I did that in on a Sunday morning one year. I'd been over at Rayburn and watched Kevin Worth do the same thing in a BASS tournament over there. And when he did that, I'm sitting there going, how in the world is he fishing that slow? I mean, because it was just one of those things where he was fishing so slow, and I came back, and that Sunday morning I said, put on it. I'm going to Conroe, and I'm going to try it. And on one brush pile, I caught three fish that weighed like 18 pounds. It's like, good night. You know, they're all good fish. I only made like 10 casts in an hour and a half. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Going that slow, those fish are just down there lethargic. They didn't want to move. But when it sat in their face long enough, they ate it. So
that's slow for me too, man. I know the drill. It's not fun, but it's productive. All right, Richard. Well, hey, man, take care of that hand, and I'll check in with you next week and see how things are coming.
Sounds good, brother.
Anyone
get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good weekend. Stay warm.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Later, man. All right, that's the Fish Dude up on Conroe. Now let's run down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P, what's up, bud?
Good morning.
How you doing there, buddy?
I'm fine. I'm staying warm.
Yes, sir. Feels good.
Yeah. Nothing new. I'm hadn't fought none of this stuff yet. I've had a couple of trips. We had to reschedule. I had people wanting to go tomorrow. Now they decided they didn't want to go. So
rain's
thank God
back
I
tomorrow.
Want to go too. Yeah. Yeah, I just hope a lot of those fish didn't go into that intercoastals. But I bet some did.
Yeah, I heard. I saw yesterday where there's turtle rescue crews in Port O'Conner rescuing the turtles.
You know, I did not see
cold
those
enough
turtles.
To stun any of them.
Yeah, this year I did not see the turtles like we normally do. It was
Maybe they're wising up.
I don't know. But they had gotten pretty bad. I mean, you'd be white fishing, and they'd just pop up next to you. And I just didn't see any at all. But they had to be there. Where would they go?
Right.
You know? But, yeah, this, I guess this could have been a hell of a lot worse. So,
yeah,
just deal with it. And
well, the thing is, thank God we don't have another one of these right behind this one. Then we'd be talking scared. Here we go again.
Yeah. But once it warms up, I mean, we got the river to catch trout in. You got the diversionary canal. It ought to be just jam packed with redfish.
Right.
With, all of them falling off those flats into the diversion. And then on the west end of East Bay, I mean, you could even possibly find birds, you know. I mean,
sure.
All that bait had to be pulled out with marsh.
Oh, you know it did with the tide drops and the colder temperatures. It had to pull it out.
Yeah. And then you got some pretty good wade fishing on the east end where those big ones stack up. So We'll see what happens. And I'm sure people in Caney Creek are catching fish, you know, off their piers.
Yeah, they've learned to be quiet about that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep. And Chinkapin, they do the same thing in Chinkapin.
Right.
And then the people that have houses on the Colorado River, I'm sure they're checking that out too. But I really don't know of anybody that's been very much over here. I keep seeing posts from people wading and down south, but I haven't seen nothing around here. It's been nasty.
A little different environment down there.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of your snowbirds go that far down to winter.
Right. But I guess it'll all be good. It should be good after all this stuff settles out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know? Let's
get us a little break.
You had any duck hunting reports? You had to bring some ducks down.
Not really much. I mean, it picked up a little with this cold weather from the guys I know that hunt over my way. But some of them are getting them, some are not. It's not, I wouldn't call this a banner waterfowl season this year. You know, it's been okay, you know, if you got the, you know, got your good holes and all that. But a lot of traditional areas that normally produce birds big time, it hadn't happened this year. And our counts were a little bit up from last year, but those birds hadn't even got down here. I mean, it just now got cold. And here it is.
No doubt.
Season will be over the end of the month, so.
Yeah. Well, they got a couple more weeks, huh?
Yeah, till the end of January.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk to Bink in the final segment, you know, live from the blind this morning, check his pulse, see how his hunting's been since this cold weather.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him lately. But we'll see what happens.
Well, we've seen this song and dance before.
Oh, yeah. Yep. In the meantime, we'll just stay low and stay warm.
That's it. As weather settles out, it starts warming up behind this front here. Things will pick up. Everybody will get out. When they find them, they'll be piled up. You can bet on
that. They will.
They'll be thick.
I know right where to look.
I think you probably do, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
If you don't, you might want to.
Something's wrong.
Might want to move on, try something else.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I've been watching some of these bass shows this morning. I mean, it's TV screen city on their boats, front and back. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
My, how fishing's changed in freshwater.
Yeah. It's changed in saltwater, too, but you make it easy for some people now.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah, I like the old days. Give me the compass and let me go.
That's it. A compass and a little bit of grit. Let's roll.
Yes, sir.
All right, Charlie P. Well, look, man, somebody wants to get down to Matagorda, get on some of this good fishing this late winter and spring. How they get a hold of you, man?
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Well, have a good one, and hopefully the Texans can pull one out today. We need somebody from Texas to win something good.
Yeah, we did have some good football to watch for a couple of days there.
Yeah, we did. Last night, that was just, I won't even go there. All right, buddy.
Best team won. I can tell you that.
What's that?
The best teams won.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Ohio State's, they're better than everybody thought they were.
Yeah.
They're pretty impressive. All right, brother. Well, have a good one, Charlie. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Take care, Mickey.
Later, buddy. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.